H. pylori treatment, let's talk about some truths. Really important to understand these truths if you're going to recover from H. pylori and get back to your full potential. Now, let's face it, when we're diagnosed with H. pylori, if we're feeling pretty crappy, all we want to do is get rid of it. That's perfectly normal. That's exactly what I wanted to do as soon as I found that I had H. pylori. We certainly do not want an ulcer-causing bacterium living in our stomach and intestine, particularly when we know that when we've had that particular infection for many, many years, it may lead to other problems that could be quite serious if we don't deal with it when we get the chance. And I think it's really important for you to know the full scoop when it comes to choosing your H. pylori treatment. And more than anything, I want you to have the freedom of choice. It's really important for me that people have a freedom of choice when it comes to treating things, because I feel that people get boxed in with medications and all the rhetoric and hyperbole that goes along with the pharmaceutical industry. And I want to, before we go into H. pylori treatment in detail, I really want you to know that I am not against antibiotics. Before antibiotics came along, the average life expectancy was about 47. As soon as antibiotics had been around for a while, the life expectancy went up to about 74. Now that is just phenomenal. Antibiotics have been absolutely revolutionary in human health. However, they're being overused. That's causing a lot of problems. And specifically when it comes to H. pylori, they're not as effective as the doctors think they are. And I think I really want to explore and share some of my research findings and some of my experience in this area. So despite what the doc may tell you, antibiotics for H. pylori don't always work. In fact, the failure rate is probably a lot higher than you might think. So let's have a look at what the experts say so that you realize it's not just me off on my own soapbox here. From Peter Malfathiner, who is a doctor heavily involved with H. pylori and digestive health, and this was a statement that came out of the 2012 consensus report. It was published in Gut, which is a very eminent digestive health journal, medical journal, and it's called The Management of Helicobacter pylori Infections. And he says, in the fourth consensus conference, in the fourth Maastricht Florence consensus conference, 44 experts from 24 countries took active part. Experts invited were chosen for their expertise and contribution to H. pylori research and or guideline methodology. So these are the real deal people from around the world. He goes on to say the triple treatment, including PPI clarithromycin and amoxicillin or metronidazole proposed at the first conference to treat H. pylori infection, has become universal since it was recommended by all the consensus conferences held around the world, meaning that there's a fixed treatment regimen now around the world for H. pylori. However, the most recent data show that this combination has lost some efficacy and often allows the cure of only a maximum of 70% of the patients, which is less than the 80% rate aimed for at the beginning and far below what should be expected for an infectious disease. While no new drug has been developed for this indication, a number of studies have been carried out in recent years using different combinations of known antibiotics. So let's just summarize what that means. It basically means that treatments used to be really effective and now they're not so effective. 3 in 10 people are going to have treatment failure when they use triple therapy. And that rate is going to be higher in some areas of the world and lower in some areas of the world. And it's going to vary from region to region, depending on the genetics of the people being treated and the type of H. pylori that they have. So let's just explore what those treatments actually are so that you get an idea of what's available to you if you're trying to decide on what you want to treat yourself with. So first line therapy, the standard therapy for H. pylori, if it's found, is what we call triple therapy. And triple therapy is 2 antibiotics and a proton pump inhibitor. And the proton pump inhibitor is something like omeprazole, pantoprazole, esomeprazole, lansoprazole. And they are basically medications that stop the stomach from producing acid. So it reduces the acid level and it allows the antibiotics to be more effective. The antibiotics in triple therapy, it's usually a one called clarithromycin combined with either metronidazole, which has the brand name of Flagyl, or amoxicillin. The success rate of this treatment, as I've said before, is about 70%. And the success rate's going to differ in different regions. And it means that 3 in 10 people don't succeed. Now, if that treatment doesn't work, second line therapy is employed. And this second line therapy will also be what they use initially if it's an area where the clarithromycin resistance of H. pylori is very, very high. In other words, if H. pylori is really resistant to clarithromycin in a certain area, they won't even use it at all. In order to find out whether the clarithromycin is going to be effective, they have to do testing to find out whether the H. pylori organisms are going to die or not when they're exposed to that substance, and that costs more money and it's not always done. So the second line therapy is quadruple therapy. So if taking 3 drugs at the same time is not enough, taking 4 drugs must surely do the trick. And so they introduce tetracycline. They'll use bismuth, which is a natural compound that we can actually get in natural supplements. Or they'll use levofloxacin and metronidazole. So there's a number of different antibiotics that can be combined for the quadruple therapy. And again, they're going to use a proton pump inhibitor to reduce the stomach acid level. And that's usually done for 10 to 14 days. There may be a third line therapy as well, which is, according to Dr. Malfathiner, after failure of second line treatment, treatment should be guided by antimicrobial susceptibility testing wherever possible. And so what that again means is that if somebody's had 2 treatments and they haven't worked, the doctor or the clinic should be testing the susceptibility of the H. pylori strain that the person has to different antibiotics to see which ones are going to work. But the problem with this is it's time consuming and it costs a lot more money from the budget, right, of the clinic or the healthcare system. And so this is not always done. We've heard from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over the years, what do I do? I've had treatment 3 times, 4 times, 5 times and nothing's working. And we ask them, well, has your doctor actually taken a biopsy of the H. pylori and tested it for susceptibility? And the answer has always been no. And so this isn't, although it's a recommendation from the people who really know about H. pylori around the world, it's not actually been implemented much of the time at ground level where people need to be treated. And that's obviously a problem. This little chart or flowchart shows you kind of roughly what the medical doctors are told to do. So on the left-hand side, regions that don't really have clarithromycin-resistant H. pylori, then they'll use the first-line therapy of amoxicillin or metronidazole with clarithromycin, and then they may use the bismuth quadruple therapy as well. And then if that doesn't work, then they've got to use the quadruple therapy there. On the right-hand side, where the clarithromycin level is high, they'll go straight in with the quadruple therapy, then they'll go with what's called a rescue therapy, possibly something called sequential therapy, where you take different antibiotics back to back. And there's a couple of different options available if things get really, really nasty and things are just not working. But in general, the point that I want to get across is that your medical doctor and even your gastroenterologist may not have this knowledge and may not be prescribing the same treatments as the gastroenterologist down the road. And there's a real big confusion around this. And I only know this from experience and from talking to doctors that, the H. pylori antibiotic resistance issue is really not being dealt with very well in the medical system. And that's one of the reasons why the treatments are not working so well anymore. Now, really, it's not proper practice for a doctor to keep giving the same old treatment if it's already failed a couple of times. And so you want to take, if you're having trouble with your doctor, if your doctor's not being particularly supportive, I've provided the paper by Malfathiner with this video to take to your doctor so that you can actually show them what the recommendations are and try and get your doctor's arm twisted to do the right thing. Now, what can affect treatment outcome? Well, obviously, we've talked about antibiotic resistance. You may even have more than one strain that's antibiotic resistant, or you may have one strain that responds nicely to the antibiotics and gets killed off, and one of the strains may not. So it's difficult to know. Now, your compliance, so if you skip the medications, the treatment probably won't work properly. Your tolerance to the medications is really important as well. Some people just don't tolerate certain drugs very well. They have very nasty reactions to them and side effects. The interaction of some of these antibiotics with medications that you may already be taking is really important as well. And there may be other unknown factors in there, such as your genetics, that may be affecting the outcome as well. Now, some people sail through treatment and knock out H. pylori the first time. There is a singe to them and they wonder, what, you know, what's all the fuss about? You know, I've been attacked online on forums and things like that when people have just come in and said, you know, don't be stupid. I just took the medications and I was fine. Well, unfortunately, as we said some time ago, and as I keep explaining, your individual experience with H. pylori may not be the same as somebody else's. So to just project that an amazing outcome from antibiotics for you is going to be the same for everybody is actually not accurate and it's misleading. So we all have a different experience when we have this bug. We can all have similar experiences, and some people do get rid of it very quickly with the antibiotics. They have no reactions and everything is perfectly fine. Some people, though, need lots of different treatments, and they may feel awful when they're doing their protocols. They may feel absolutely horrific. And the side effects of the treatment may actually make them feel worse than they did before they even bothered taking the treatment in the first place. So again, we've got to really be understanding and we've got to have some sensitivity to that. Some of the side effects that people have explained or experienced when I've been working with them have been nausea, depression, fatigue, diarrhea, constipation. A metallic taste in the mouth is a really common one, actually. Changes in appetite, headaches, achy joints and muscles, and aches and pains in the liver area as well, because the liver has to detoxify some of these medications. And the trouble with these side effects is that some people can't finish the course of medications, and if you can't finish the course of the meds, they won't work properly. And so this is a problem, particularly you have to pay for them out of your own pocket, because doctor's not going to reimburse you if you can only take the meds for 3 days out of 10 or 14 days, for example. Now, another problem with the antibiotics that's not really mentioned a lot of the time is that the antibiotics themselves can trigger new problems that weren't there before. And if you go to my social media pages on H. pylori, particularly the Facebook page, and you scroll down a lot of the postings on there, you'll see messages from people who have completed the H. pylori therapy only to feel a lot worse. So the original symptoms can worsen, or new ones can come along that weren't even there the first time round. Now, we know that antibiotics can affect the entire microbiome. So you have this wonderful population of trillions of microbes in your digestive system, parasites, bacteria, fungi, etc. And they're all hanging out there in good balance if things are working well. But the antibiotics can start to really affect the entire microbial network. They can kill off some of the good bugs that we actually want to be there. And that can then lead to the proliferation of some of the bad guys, and that triggers new symptoms potentially. For a fact, we know that antibiotics can trigger candida overgrowth, and candida is a yeast and fungal organism. And the candida itself can create bloating and gas and diarrhea, constipation, any of the sort of irritable bowel type symptoms. Sweet cravings, change your energy level and your mood, cause an itchy anus, can cause a white coating on the tongue, can cause vaginal thrush and urogenital problems, and it can create skin problems as well. Clostridium difficile can be triggered by antibiotics, particularly in the elderly or young children who potentially don't have a really strong immune system. Things like diarrhea, which might have blood in it and mucus, constipation, again, that even though you're constipated, you can still be passing blood and what have you, abdominal pain, anxiety, neurological problems, colitis, fatigue, etc. All of those can be created by C. diff. So we have to understand that antibiotics is really a double-edged sword. They can work phenomenally well and very quickly for some people. They can knock out the H. pylori virtually overnight and people go on and feel fantastic. But at the same time, the antibiotics don't work all the time and they can cause a lot of problems. Susceptibility testing really needs to be used, but it's not really being used as much as it could be and should be really in the medical system because of time and cost constraints. The treatments can cause side effects, they may trigger other problems, and so it's wise to understand all of this before you make a snap decision on how you want to treat your H. pylori, because there are other options available. And again, I'm not pulling this out of the hat and just clutching at straws and, you know, just saying this because I'm biased towards natural healthcare. All of this information comes from clinical experience, and it comes from the medical and scientific literature as well. And the papers that you can read are actually accompanying this video, as you can see below. Now, let's also in the next video just discuss whether there are other options and what they are. So, can foods knock out H. pylori? Can nutrients and herbal protocols help kill H. pylori as well? Are they more or less effective than antibiotics? Can they be used alongside antibiotics? And if so, how does that all look and fit together? Looking forward to sharing this with you because it's kind of the work that I've been doing over the last 8 years, helping people regenerate and rejuvenate their health through more natural means rather than pharmaceutical means. And I will catch you soon, and we'll have a good old chat about how we can knock out H. pylori a little bit more naturally.